everybody, to The Sun on the Strip. This is Brock Radke, the entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, here every Wednesday to get you caught up on everything that's going on in entertainment from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. Thanks for listening. I got some pretty exciting Vegas news to share with you before I flip the switch on a really cool behind-the-scenes interview with some people who are bringing back two shows after the long entertainment layoff. First up, Caesars Entertainment is reopening the Cromwell Casino and Boutique Hotel this week. The smaller resort on the famous corner of Flamingo Road and Las Vegas Boulevard is back on Thursday, and it'll be operating 7 days a week with a new twist. It's the only adults-only resort on the Strip. You already know about this because the new Circa Casino Resort in downtown Las Vegas, which officially opens today, made headlines over the summer when it announced a 21 and over policy across the whole property. And now the Cromwell follows suit. It makes sense when you consider there are only a few amenities at the Cromwell. They're very popular, but also very adult oriented. The last few years, this place has really been geared around the casino, which seems like it's always very busy. And then Giada De Laurentiis' fancy Italian restaurant overlooking the Strip from the upper level, and of course the Dre's nightclub and beach club up on the roof. Giada reopens this week too, as well as the Eat Well grab and go food spot, the Bound and Interlude bars, and the basement club Dre's After Hours will reopen as Dre's Lounge. Two more Strip shows have announced reopening dates, and I managed to get one of these announcements into last week's Curtain Up column. Please tune into the Las Vegas Sun website every Friday. I've moved the column from Thursday to Friday so you can stay up to date on all the Vegas showbiz news you can handle. LasVegasSun.com on Friday. That's where you want to find it. Curtain Up. Tapeface is back at Harrah's on November 11th. This is a show I love because it's so different from everything else on the Strip. I highly recommend it, and I'm really excited. It'll be performing again at 7:30 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday. Tapeface is moving from the little House of Tape room to the larger Harrah's showroom. And over at the Strat, MJ Live returns to the stage in the same MJ Live theater on November 4th. And it will be performed at 7 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. Let's drop a little bit of restaurant news because this is kind of a big one. Bobby Flay's Mesa Grill, one of the most popular restaurants on the Strip for 16 years, is closing on November 14th at Caesars Palace. Flay is creating a new Italian concept called Amalfi that will take up that space, and it is set for a spring 2021 opening. So if you've been eating that Mesa Grill for a long time, you better make a reservation and hit it up one more time. Angela and Matt Stabile are the wife and husband team behind Stabile Productions, which currently runs four long-running and popular shows on the Vegas Strip. Two of this first crop of returning Vegas shows belong to them. X Country at Harrah's, which opened last week, and Piff the Magic Dragon at Flamingo, which opens on Thursday this week. Matt Stabile comes from a showbiz family and was working as a director for his own commercial film and TV production company when he was hired to shoot an ad for X Burlesque, which was created by Angela. That was actually her first time as a producer. She had just retired after a long career as a dancer and choreographer. She's a legit showgirl. She performed in Lido de Paris, Crazy Girls, a few other shows. When Angela and Matt teamed up personally and professionally, they started the foundation of this mini empire of Vegas shows, and they took some time to talk with me this week about their company and what it's been like to bring some of the first shows back to the Vegas Strip in these wild times. This is a really good one. Check it out. I want to start by congratulating you on bringing back the first Vegas casino show after this long entertainment shutdown. X Country, of course, came back to Harrah's just a few days ago. So how did it feel for both of you to see your shows finally come back to life?
Awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, we're very excited. No,
it was really great to see the crowd and, you know, and see the audience enjoying the show and enjoying live entertainment.
And the performers were very happy as well.
Everyone was elated.
Yeah, very excited to be on stage again and working and playing, you know, doing what they do best. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was three sold-out shows.
For the first week.
Crowds were crazy. It's almost like, you know, not almost like they haven't seen a show in 8 months. You know, like that feeling of you could tell they were excited.
Yeah, I bet. I bet there was a lot of energy in there once that actually things actually started.
Yeah.
Right? Did you guys feel some extra pressure being the first ones back and, you know, having to be really the first show with cast and crew having to go through all these protocols and make sure to hit the right points in every way, in addition to just putting on a great show? So what did that feel like kind of gearing up for it?
Take that one.
Well, not a lot of, I mean, I wouldn't say pressure, but we were working very closely with Caesars and all the safety protocols and making sure everything, like you said, was on point. And it was kind of like, to me, it was like a game show yeah. challenge or something, yeah. where it's like, okay, go in and you have to, do this, now make it work.
Yeah.
And that's what
great.
We did.
The guys that see the executives and all the people that helped us get this movie, and they've all been awesome. Damien Costa and Jason Gatsworth, as you mentioned, and
Nate Mundell,
yeah, and Daryl Clulow. They've been really key people, and Mark Messimino.
Yeah.
They've been really key, the five of them, of getting all of this moving forward. And you know, they have really strict guidelines, and they've made sure that we've followed them, and we made it happen. They made it happen. All of us did as a team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if people outside of the industry know how much work has been done this whole time by people like you, people that work at the venues, whether it's in a casino or outside of a casino. Like, everybody wants this stuff to come back. Everybody wants to get shows going as soon as possible. It might not always seem that way because there's so many hoops to jump through, and it's such a complicated situation. But from my perspective, it really does seem like everybody is doing everything they possibly can to get the showbiz industry up and running again. Huh?
I think you touched on it before, and we've been saying it from day one, advocating this, that Vegas will never, ever, ever be the same without entertainment. As much as we have great gaming here, restaurants and nightlife and everything else, if the entertainment is not here, people will not continue to come. They'll come once, but you need them to come back again. You know, and if there's not entertainment, it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope the government is seeing this.
Right. Now, Angela, you are a dancer and choreographer. You've performed in some of the most iconic shows in strip history. I'm sure you never had to take such a long break from being on stage during your career, but you must have really felt for the girls in your shows who had to deal with this long layoff and really stay ready to go, even though they were kind of in this perpetual state of limbo throughout all this. What was that like?
Well, there are two sides to it, or another side to it, which the girl, you know, you're a dancer, you're on stage, the glamorous life, and then to really go to nothing, you know, not being able to perform, and a lot of the girls, you know, some of the girls had a really tough time with it mentally, even. Like, who am I? What am I doing? You know, and I'm sure that goes with other jobs as well in this, you know, since it's happened. But, you know, everyone really, they stayed together and kept in touch, socially distant, of course. But they all kept in touch. We kept in touch with them. And we knew that when we had the opportunity that we'd be, you know, we're ready to go. So they were all, they had a great attitude with doing this. And what we've done it in, when did we get the green light? Two.
Maybe 3 weeks ago.
Right. We just hit the ground running, you know.
Yeah.
Fortunately, was up for it.
Fortunately, in this country, we didn't have to do a lot of changes. There was about four or five numbers that the girls came in the audience. We had to change the choreography and a few of the lighting cues. But overall, we were able to get that up and running really quick.
And not bring anyone on stage,
you know,
with all the limits.
Tiff, we've had some obstacles, but as you know, he opens up this Thursday.
Yeah.
And we had some obstacles, but we were making that work here as well.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that for sure. This is another huge week for you guys because now you get to reopen PIFF, which you also produce. He was actually my guest on this podcast last week, so I know he's got a lot of different stuff in store for his reopening. What's it been like for you guys working behind the scenes, working with his team, and moving this show to the bigger room at Flamingo?
It's been awesome. I mean, again, the Caesars Entertainment's been really helpful in our move. It's going to be a great show. He's a brilliant magician and comedian, as you know. And he's brought a lot of new elements to the show.
Well, we're able to use bigger set pieces, you know, in this room.
Yeah, bigger set pieces with the sound, lighting, the AV section in the room, the video. It's amazing. It's going to be a whole new level from when we were in the other room at Bugsy's for the customer. They're going to love it. It's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm sure it's going to be really interesting for you too, also, because obviously PIFF's show is vastly different from your other shows that you produce in Las Vegas. So you'll have that chance to not just see how things go operationally, but see how the audience reacts to this other kind of show under all these crazy circumstances and rules, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Being the 25 foot back. And we are, though, able to bring people on stage for this show, for the PIFF show. So they just have to be socially 6 feet apart, socially distant. And of course, everyone will then have masks on. So yeah, it should be really interesting to see how the audience reacts. But I think that with what we've all done, it's going to be, it's going to work.
Yeah.
PIFF has made it funny. So yeah. Incorporated all this craziness into making it funny.
Yeah. We're still safe, but he's making light of it too and making fun with it at the same time. So it's not such a focus of the show, you know? So
Well, along with the ex-country girls, they have to wear masks when they're on stage.
Right.
And we were able to find clear masks and then put some rhinestones on them. And when you are watching the show, you oddly do forget about the masks, which I thought was going to be a real obstacle. But they are also allowed to not wear masks when they're doing solos. So you do get to see the comedian
does not need to wear a mask. I guess the guideline rules are if they're talking on stage or singing, they don't need to wear a mask. That's why John and Jade, just John, right?
Right. Jade does have to wear a mask.
Yeah. His assistant, Jade Simone, he doesn't have to wear a mask as well on stage, which was a big hurdle. We were very happy to find out that, that rule. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of rules. Obviously.
A lot of rules.
Yeah. A lot of them are, as you characterize, a little bit smaller than others, but the one that really stands out, no matter what show we're talking about and who I'm talking to, is the 25 foot, the required 25 foot distance between the stage and the audience. I'm really familiar with the Flamingo showroom where PIFF is going to be. I've been there many times to see different shows, and I can kind of envision what that is going to look like with that gap from the stage to the, Not so familiar with the Harris Cabaret room where ex-country performs, but that rule is not only making it hard for shows to get going again. There's a lot of shows in a lot of rooms that there's no way for them to get going with.
No, no, absolutely not.
Well, the 250, the 250 seating max and the mathematics of making the seats work so it's economical for everybody, because there's a 6 feet gap between each. We're calling them pods now. Mm-hmm. We're selling in 2-section, 4-section, even 6-section pods, and they all have to be 6 feet apart.
Fun fact, you can't buy one ticket to a show.
Yeah, that's another interesting.
Yeah, you have to buy, even if you're coming along, you have to buy at least 2 seats in a pod. If all the 2 seats are gone, then you have to, one person would have to buy a 4-person pod to be able to come to
the show. So it's a big learning curve for not only Esther, but the brokerage team with with Caesars to figure that out, how it'll work out. And we're kind of guessing right now, you know, just trying to make it work.
So so for the PIF show, we are able to seat 250. And then for the X Country show, we're only allowed to seat 80 guests in a 350-seat showroom. Because that's the capacity.
Because of the,
works out.
The 6 foot.
Because of the, well, and mainly because of the 25-foot
rule. And the 25-foot rule, yeah.
Right, right. There's so many rooms where, like you said, the capacity is already, that has to pencil out financially or else a show will not, you know, you could open, but you're not going to be able to stay open with that that number of people. And then when you throw the 25-foot thing in there, that there's no way you can go.
It's just absurd.
I feel bad for so many shows in town that there's just no possible way they could economically make it work for them.
Well, we aren't We aren't able to open X Burlesque in its showroom. It's supposed to be an intimate experience, or X Rocks at Bally's. How long deep is the showroom? Is
at Bally's? Or I mean, the
X Burlesque.
X Burlesque is about 35 feet deep.
So you take 25 off that.
Yeah, you got like one row of people.
Yeah, there's just no.
It doesn't. It would never work. I mean, I'm hoping that the guidelines change. If you could do maybe like 6 feet or even 10 feet, similar to what he's doing with churches right now, which is odd to me that he's allowing live performances at churches with no masks on, with people that sit in the front row. You know, so it's not really fair, unfortunately, but hopefully they'll change it soon, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of inconsistencies. And understanding, of course, that this is a process and it's new for everybody, and I know that everyone at the casinos and at the venues are working with you guys and people, other producers, to keep these dialogues and conversations going. And hopefully all the rules will be a little bit more logical, and we won't have these kind of discrepancies.
Right.
Yes.
Logical is
the best. That's a great word. That's the word of the day, man.
Yeah. And still be able to obviously keep, you know, everyone safe.
Obviously you mentioned X Burlesque and X Rocks. And I know that you guys are working hard to find a way to bring those back as soon as possible. So it sounds like there's a possibility that we're going to see those shows maybe in different venues.
Maybe, yes. That's our
We're kind of waiting it out. We would rather not move.
We're hoping that the guidelines will change so we're able to open them in their own venues. We just redid a brand new venue for X Rocks at Bally's, and it was almost ready to be opened. And this happened, so hopefully we'll be able to go in there. But if not, yes, we'll have to look at other options.
The timing could not have been worse. We literally were about to open that show, rebuilt the theater. Mm-hmm. We had maybe another month before we were going to open, and boom.
Yeah. You know.
And it's in the same space back there. It was called the back room before at Bally's. That's the same.
No, we were in that space, but we were building a brand new venue. It seats 160, and it's right around where, what was it called?
Buca de Pepe. The restaurant, they sectioned that off or kind of cut it in half, and we built a theater over there.
I see.
Because they're planning
specifically for X Rocks.
They were planning to do like a disco 80s themed nightclub back in that old club area, you know, where we had the back room, because it was a nightclub first. And that obviously got shut down too. So
the style of show, you know, we'll call it a female review or whatever. Obviously this is a very popular genre of show in Las Vegas and has been for forever, really. And I think a big part of these kinds of shows is the room that it's in. You know, you're able to really create that intimacy that you
mentioned.
So are you worried about, if you do get the chance to open one of those shows in a larger room, are you concerned about that it just won't feel the same because of, you know, not only the distancing, but just because you'll be in a larger room?
Well, it'll definitely be our challenge to make it feel, create the intimacy some other way or somehow. The Flamingo showroom, though, if X Burlesque were to go in this one, the main showroom, it's not as, it's an intimate, larger room somehow, you know, with the booths and everything. But I don't know. It's just, it would definitely be a challenge, but I think we can make it work. We'd have to add other things to the show.
Mm-hmm. Some bigger props, and mm-hmm. we're trying not to focus on that too much yet. You know,
definitely in the back.
Back burner. Yeah, we've done it in larger rooms in Canada and in Tahoe.
Yeah, we sold out a 5,000 seat venue in Canada.
Yeah,
it is a different experience. It's not the same. Yeah.
And Bugsy's room is awesome for that show, what we've created in there. And it is very intimate, and you're right next to the girls, and we would hate to lose that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, your company is definitely a family business, and it goes beyond you two. Angela, we've talked before about how you kind of evolved your career into becoming a producer and also the creative process behind your shows. But can you guys tell me a little bit more about how you work together, sort of who does what, and what that process looks like as you collaborate with your whole team to make these shows happen?
Well, it is a family business. Okay, so Matt and myself obviously produce and direct the shows. Tiffany, my daughter, our daughter, is the co-producer on some shows. Well, actually all of them now, and general manager. And then we have Anthony Cardella, who is our choreographer. So that's really the heart of that is the X team. So the ideas start, let's say, I mean, they can come from anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we, everybody will throw an idea. How about this? Or you know, what about this song or doing this prop or this look? And we collaborate and see if it'll work in the shows. No,
of course, I have the final say. No, I'm just kidding. Matt and I have the final say.
Yeah, we also edit and sound design all of our shows. Piff does most of his designing of his show, and we elaborate with him and produce along, you know, with him. We also do all the
lighting
We also do all the marketing for the shows and design. So our days are pretty full, especially right now, gearing back up. You know, getting things rolling again.
Yeah.
So.
And Matt, your background is more on the technical side of things?
Well, I was a director of photography and a director of motion picture, you know, commercials and documentaries for years, since 1986. And Angela, when she started X back in 2002, they hired me to direct their commercial. And they didn't have a savvy AV guy at the time. And we started talking about some fun looks and ideas, and then I came aboard. Rest is history. But before that, I was in a television. I had a television production company.
And we merged.
So. Yeah. So it's mostly theater now. I don't do a lot of TV anymore. That's it.
What was that transition like for you, moving from TV and film work to live shows like that?
Well, our family, I'm not sure if you know this, managed Jerry Lewis his whole career. Well, most of his career. So I've been in the entertainment business for a long time. I collaborated with Blair Farrington years ago on a show. I did a few things, small things, nothing big, in the show side of my own until I met Angela.
And I do think, sounds simple, but basically show business is show business. It's a show, you know, or it's a commercial. You want it to be appealing visually, you know, all the ways.
But Angela has had a great knack for the show business side of it, of what works and what doesn't work. You know, she saw it firsthand on stage, and she's got a great creative mind when it comes to different acts and what looks good and what's going to, people are going to love, you know. And so I think together we work really good as a team to make that vision happen.
And then with Tiffany and Anthony.
Yeah. Anthony's an awesome choreographer, and Tiffany's brilliant creatively. And she helps get things done, you know.
She actually does it all as well.
Yeah. And we have a great team.
She probably has a unique perspective too, because she's grown up here, right? Like, she's always been involved with the business and with Vegas.
Yeah.
I think she was 19 or 18 when I opened 19. X.
Yeah.
She started in wardrobe.
Uh-huh. We have a great shot of her backstage doing wardrobe. That video.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like what you guys are doing right now, along with of course, your casino partners, as well as other shows and venues that are coming back right now. It's just bringing a lot of positivity to the Strip and to the industry overall. And that's so important right now. How are you guys both feeling just about the future of entertainment in Vegas?
Well, I think that someone had to do it. And so we took the first steps, you know, and everything is going in the right direction. And I do feel that eventually everything will be back better than ever. There's no question about that. It may take some time, obviously.
The more shows that open, the better, you know, just to get that ball rolling, let the people know that their shows are back open in Vegas. You know, people have gone hearing so long, it's dead here. So the more they open, the more PR that gets people aware that we're moving forward. Absinthe is opening Wednesday, I think. Which is great. So they'll get that word out there in other shows. So we just need to keep this ball rolling, you know.
And just hopefully show our governor that it can be done safely, or as safely as any other thing out there, like going to eat or a movie.
As safely as any church.
Anything. And church, yes.
Yeah.
All the above.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to get one more bonus question in for you guys, because I know you like to go out and try different restaurants. It seems like you guys are always the cool restaurant spot. Give me a couple of recommendations for people right now.
You know what Angela's gonna, her first go-to is going to be? You could probably guess it.
Well, Piero's, obviously. Yeah. But they did reopen finally, like only a month ago, I think.
I think they added one more day.
But my new favorite restaurant, and I'm not just saying this because we are here at the Flamingo, but it is Bugsy and Myers. It is freaking delicious. And I mean, it just is. The cocktails are amazing, you know, fun filled
names really
nice. And stuff. I don't know. I like it.
Really, really good.
Yeah, I'm happy it's here.
Chef Lamar, he did it up, man. The guy's awesome. Love it over there.
Yeah. And then Gitano's, obviously, is great.
Yeah.
As a local restaurant.
Miss Coco's.
Eastern.
Miss Coco's.
Oh, that's right. Our good friends opened a new restaurant at Lake Las Vegas called Mrs. Coco.
Yeah, it's really great.
It just
great.
Opened last week.
The ambiance is awesome. She made flowers and it's like a great
very Vanderpump, but different.
Vanderpump, yeah, for Instagram pictures and stuff, you know.
Well, what else do you guys want to say to people that are coming into town and are going to be able to see your shows again and are very excited about that?
Yes.
Piff, Thursday, we open up and we're very excited. Tickets are going fast.
You won't be disappointed.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just want to throw in that with X Country opening last week, I was so happy to see that the audience's reaction was just as before. They were really excited, even though they were 25 feet back, because I was concerned about that. But everyone was so thrilled and just happy to be back there. So I think that, everyone come out and see the shows.
We'll have a great time. We promise.
That's going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Thank you for listening, and thank you many times over to Angela and Matt Stabile. You can go see X Country at Harrah's. You can go see Piff the Magic Dragon at Flamingo. You can find tickets for these shows at caesars.com/shows. You can find past episodes of this podcast at lasvegassun.com/podcasts, or you can listen and subscribe to The Sun on the Strip at Apple Podcasts. I'll be here next Wednesday, as always. Thanks again for listening. See you then.